So, yes, someone just mentioned that Parshas Miketz is normally Shabbos Chanukah. Yeah. Shabbos Chanukah is normally Miketz. But tonight we're not going to start with Miketz. We will get to Miketz, but we're going to actually start with a Rambam. We're going to start with a Rambam. I know you're like, one second, there's a Parsha here. The Rambam doesn't write on Parsha. No, he doesn't. The closest thing he comes to it is actually the Mor Nevuchim. But the Rambam we know, last night Dr. Mark Herman started, an expert, world expert in Rambam, started a shiur in the Sefer HaMitzvos, which was very, very exciting. But tonight we're going to Yad HaChazaka. The Rambam in Yad HaChazaka we know is very, very careful with the terminology he uses. You know, I got a lot of notes tonight, so it's going to be long, sorry. So the Rambam writes in Perek Gimel, Halacha Gimel of Hilchas Chanukah, he tells a little bit about the story, which is, a lot of people talk about, why is he telling us a story? Normally he doesn't tell stories in a book of law. Wherever he tells stories, the beginning of Avodah Zarah and Hilchos Melachim, there's a lot of ink spilled why the Rambam is telling stories. But he says, "V'mezeh, because of this, what happened that I just described in the previous halachos, hiskinu chachomim sheba'oso hador, the sages in that generation established, yushmonas hayomim ha'elu, these 8 days, shetchilosan milel chamisha ve'esrim b'kislev, that begin the night of the 25th of Kislev, which was last night, yimei simcha v'halel, days of joy and halel, of singing praises to Hashem, umadlikin behen haneros be'erev al pischei habotim b'cholayla v'layla. And you light lamps every evening by the doors to the homes, each and every night, mishmonas halelos of these 8 nights, laharos ulegalos hanes, to let it be known and to reveal the miracle." So what's interesting is, many mefarshim ask a question on the Rambam. Rambam's very careful with his language, right? There's a word there he throws in that he seemed to have made up. Who said anything about Chanukah being days of joy? What do you mean? We have Chanukah sweaters. We have Chanukah parties. You say happy Chanukah, do you? You know, that's why in Israel, some people say Chag Urim Sameach. Mm-hmm. And there was a Rebbe in Gush who protested. He said, it's not a Chag. Chag means Karban Chagiga. It's not a Chag. You can't call it a Chag. Mm. Right? It's not a festival in the classic halachic sense. So, where does the Rambam get it from, that Chanukah are days of Simcha? So what's interesting is that the Gemara, when you look at the Gemara in Masechta Shabbos, Daf Chaf Aleph, Amud Beis, that talks about my Chanukah, what is Chanukah, what they established it, it never says anything about Simcha there. It does say Yomim Tovim. So some say what the Rambam means is, it says Yomim Tovim, and Yontif, good days, always means a Din Simcha. So that's where the Rambam gets it from. That seems to be a little bit questionable, whether or not that textual inference is in fact correct. So what does it mean? Where does the Rambam get it from? That Chanukah are days of Simcha. That he highlights this in a way that the Gemara doesn't, and many other sources don't highlight it. So
when you eat fried food.
What?
Because when you eat fried food.
When you eat fried food, like, that's Simcha, or is that heartburn? Or is that Tums?
When you're young, it's fun.
But right, and when you get older. Right?
Not speaking from experience.
I don't have the same feelings about fried food. That might be a little subjective. Yeah. I mean, donuts maybe, the only things. Yeah. What are you saying, Sam?
Did it come from something, or did he make it up himself?
No, so that's a question. What's the source? We don't really have earlier sources that talk about it being a
source.
Right, so the Rambam seems to be, is he interpreting something else? Is he the source of that? Actually, that's what Dr. Mark Herman spoke a little bit about last night, the Rambam being a source for novel ideas in Jewish learning and Jewish tradition. He's certainly a great innovator. So did he make this up? It had to come from somewhere there. Meaning, so is it because the Gemara says Yomim Tovim, that they were good days, holidays, so every holiday automatically means that? So Rabbi Yerucham Olshin Shlita, the Rosh Hashiva, one of the Rosh Hashivas of BMG in Lakewood, he has a beautiful, beautiful piece that he really develops a Yesod of Chanukah, that he says what the Rambam is teaching us here about Yemei Simcha is the Rambam is highlighting one of the most important messages of Chanukah that we sometimes forget about. Right? Because when we think about Chanukah, we think about, right, Hodosu Lahalel, giving praise and giving thanks to Hashem, right? And those are certainly true. Those are certainly very important. And you know, that's a famous question. Do they bring simcha, or does simcha bring you to a state of lahodos lahalel? Very often in Torah, we know that we do things to bring us to certain emotional states. Might that be the inference? But Rabbi Yerucham Olshin, he goes to a different source. He goes to Rabbeinu Bachya ibn Pakuda, one of the greatest Jewish medieval philosophers, who wrote the famous work, the Chovas Halvavos. The Chovas Halvavos, the obligations, the responsibilities of our hearts. And in Chovas Halvavos, the most famous section in Chovas Halvavos is Shar HaBitacha, the gates of trust. And in the Chovas Halvavos, Shar HaBitacha, Rabbeinu Bachya ibn Pakuda suggests, actually, Ariel, can you do me a favor? Could you just get me that sitter right there? Is that a sitter? If you could just get me that sitter, that would be awesome. Rabbeinu Bachya ibn Pakuda suggests that for a person to have simcha gemura, for a person to really have whole, complete simcha, thanks so much. How does a person come to whole and complete simcha? Only one way. You know what it is? How do you come to whole and complete simcha? So we say it very often. We say it in Tehillim. In one second. Perek Lamed Gimel of Tehillim. Right? What's the perek that we talk about? Bitachon of Hashem. What's the pasuk connecting simcha and bitachon? Ran tzadikim b'Hashem. We say it Shabbos morning. Right. Kivo yismach libeinu, ki v'shem kacho b'tachnu. Kivo yismach libeinu, because in Hashem, our hearts will rejoice. You know why our hearts are going to rejoice in Hashem? Ki v'shem kacho b'tachnu. Because it's in Hashem's holy name that we trust. We have simcha salev because we have bitachon. And what Rav Olshin, what Rav Yerucham Olshin develops is that the one of the major themes of Chanukah, if not the major theme, again, he has a very lengthy piece. We're obviously not going to go through all of it. But Chanukah is all about bitachon. How is Chanukah all about bitachon? We spoke about it the past 2 weeks on Shabbos from a little bit of different vantage points. We spoke about it from the perspective of Mesiras Nefesh, the self-sacrifice of the Maccabim. But ultimately, that act of self-sacrifice of the Maccabim, a family of five, with their father six, right? How many, right? Different historians debate how many soldiers ever joined the Maccabi cause, but when they were at the beginning, about how many soldiers did they have to fight the Seleucid Greeks? You know how many soldiers they got together? What type of massive army they had to fight the thousands and tens of thousands of Greek soldiers? 80. They had 80 people to fight tens of thousands, if not more. So self-sacrifice, that's just sacrifice. I mean, that's right? Is that crazy? So why did they do it? Why did they do it? Because they had, Rav Yerucham argues, a sense of bitachon that ultimately, ki v'shem kacho b'tachno, in Hashem's holy name we trust. What's going to happen? We're not sure what's going to happen. But we know that for the sake of Hashem's name that we trust in, this is what we have to do. And Chanukah is the days, these 8 days, these Yomim Tovim, that Chazal of that generation were misakin. Why were they misakin it? Because they wanted to strengthen what yesod, what fundamental principle of Jewish living and Jewish life? Ki v'shem kadsho batachnu. In Hashem's holy name that we trust. That is what we have to learn from Chanukah. Bitachon b'Hashem. And we know, doesn't it make so much sense, that this is the last holiday that Chazal are misakin. Ad bias goel tzedek. Right? All the tzaddikim talk about this. The last holiday established by Chazal until the coming of the Messiah is Chanukah. So what's the message of Chanukah going to have to be? For a gullus that's going to last over 2,000 years, since the time of Chanukah has been over 2,000 years, right? What's the number one message that Chazal wanted to leave us with? Ki v'shem kadsho b'tochno.
There's a lot.
In his, what?
There's a lot of They also lost in the end. Wasn't that the whole point?
They ultimately pushed away the Seleucid Greeks. It brought in a period of unfortunate dissension. After not too long, there was a splintering of the Jewish groups. But you look in the Rambam, the beginning of Perek Gimel, the Rambam tells a story because he says that one of the chashuva things of Hanukkah was restoring Jewish malchus. Meaning, no, they won the war with great cost. Only one of the five Maccabee brothers survived. Four of them were killed. Yudah Maccabee was killed in the wars. Right? We don't tell our kids those stories. Mm-hmm. Right? We don't tell those parts of the stories. Yeah, he was killed. And he was killed. Those five brothers, only one of them made it through. I mean, everyone knows the brother that the elephant squashed, but three others also didn't make it. One made it, whose kid took the malchus, and it didn't work out. That was a different thing that it led to, that it didn't work out so well. But this, Rabbi Yerucham says, is the lasting message of Hanukkah. The reason why they said, and again, what was Yavan? Yavan is choshech. In darkness, we feel so vulnerable. Right? That's why David HaMelech said, actually, Adam HaRishon says, Mizmer Shir Liyom HaShabbos, the parak first said by Adam HaRishon that David HaMelech edited and included it in Tehillim. Lahagid baboker chastecha v'emunas chabad leilos. At night, I can only speak about Amuna. At night, I don't feel the chesed of Hashem. And Yavan is choshech. This exile was an exile of darkness. What does that mean? Think about Galus Yavan. Galus Yavan, we were in Israel with the Beis HaMikdash, and we were in Galus. The darkness was so strong that we were so clueless. Like, you know, a Galus where we have amazing Torah, we have amazing tefillah, amazing chesed, amazing tzedaka going on. We have the land of Israel in our hands, and yet we're so lost. Yet we're so lost, right? So often we've lost this message of bitachon. Ki v'shem kacho batachnu, ki vo yismach libenu. In him my heart will rejoice. Why? Ki v'shem kacho batachnu. Because it's in him I'm going to trust. And this is actually Rav Don Segal, which is a Thursday night Musar Shir that we're giving from his Mesilas Yesharim. Rav Don Segal Shlita, the great Mashkiach, who was in near Brooklyn for many years. Now he's just like the Mashkiach at large all over the world. Very, very unique and intense person. Rav Don says this is pshat in the even more famous Rambam, maybe the most famous Rambam in Hilchas Chanukah, Perek Dalet, Halach Yud Beis, where the Rambam writes, Mitzvah Sner Chanukah, Mitzvah Chaviva Hi Ad Ma'od. Right? We also spoke about this last Shabbos from a different perspective. But the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah is mitzvah chaviva hi ad ma'od. It's a very cherished mitzvah, exceptionally cherished mitzvah. V'tzarech adam lizarba. And a person has to be very, very careful with this. Lahodia hanes, to make known the miracle. Ulahosef b'shevach hakel v'hodayelo alanisim sha'asalanu. For the purpose of really making the miracle known and making sure that we give proper thanks. Because Rav Don said, what does it mean that it's a mitzvah, chaviva hi ad ma'od? So I quoted a lashon. He said, because these are yemei chizuk be'emuno bitachon. Rav Don says, you know why the Rambam says these are such cherished mitzvahs? Because what's all of Torah mitzvahs about? What's all of Torah mitzvahs about, the Zohar says, right? All of Torah mitzvahs about being attached to God, right? Every mitzvah is just another pathway to come to that. So you know what Chanukah is? The last of the mitzvahs that were given to us in terms of Yom Tovim, the last mitzvah of a yontif, meaning it's so all of the Yom Tovim is Chanukah, right? And what did they leave us with? Yemei chizuk be'emuna u'bitachon, days to just strengthen our faith and our trust in Hashem. Obviously, there's a whole other arichus that Rabbi Yerucham goes in and describing, that to degree a person has bitachon, to that degree, right, the Yeshua's Hashem will come. And this is a famous letter that Rabbi Yisrael Salanter quoted from his Rebbe, Reb Zundel, in his Sefer Ar Yisrael, a famous letter he brings down. Reb Zundel says that to the degree that a person has bitachon, to that degree, the person has the Yeshua's Hashem. I mean, they talk about the altar of Navarda that he said, on his matzev, he just wanted two words. Altar of Navardik. Rabbi Yosef Yaizel Horowitz. One of the most classic, legendary Baal Musar of the past 200 years. And what did he want on his matzeva? Two words. Bal bitachon. That was it. He felt that was the greatest, greatest shavach, the greatest praise for a human being. That the person was a bal bitachon. And that's what they used to work on in the Vardak, and work on it, and work on it. And this is something that needs real, real work. This isn't an easy thing. And we know there are many, many different levels of bitachon. And where do we see this, the different levels of bitachon? Where do we get this from? Right? We get it from this week's parsha. We get it from this week's parsha. Now we come to Miketz, which is always, not always, kimat, always, Shabbos Chanukah. I think there could be another single parsha that's not Miketz. Maybe, I don't know. I think sometimes you can have like Vayigash only as a Shabbos, Shabbos Chanukah without Miketz being it. But Stam Shabbos Chanukah is Parshas Miketz, right? And in Parshas Miketz, so obviously everyone looks for the connections between Parshas Miketz and Chanukah. So if the message of Chanukah is Bitachon, this is one of the greatest Parshas, B'chala Torah Kula, to talk about Bitachon and failures in Bitachon, right? Because the parasha starts with a very strange lashon, "Vayehi miketz shenasayim yamim, ufaro cholem vihine omer al yor." And it was at the end of 2 years that Paro dreamed, and behold, he was standing on the river. So, what is this "Vayehi miketz shenasayim yamim"? What does this mean? And it was at the end of the 2 years, meaning there was like a count of 2 years, and then Paro had a dream. What's that about? So you have to turn the pasuk before. What's the pasuk before? V'lo zachar sar ha-mashkim es Yosef v'yishkachehu. The last pasuk in Parashas Vayeshev, that the sar ha-mashkim, the chief butler, did not remember Yosef and he forgot him. What's this about? Yosef interprets his dream. He tells the sar ha-mashkim, you are going to be restored to your position as chief butler. And what does he tell him? He tells him, remember me. He says, when you go back, he says, remember me. Pasuk Yodalid, right? Ki im zichartani itcha, kasher yitav loch v'asisa na'imadi chesed, padam of 218, v'zichartani al paro v'otzisani min habayis hazeh. He says, please remember me, take me with you, that I was good to you, and I did this chesed with you, so you do this chesed, please, with me. Mention me to Paro and get me out of this hole. Get me out of this place. Right? And the story ends, V'lo zachar sar mashkim es Yosef ha'ishkacheyo. The sar mashkim doesn't remember Yosef, and he forgets him. So now we come, V'yihi miketz shenasayim yamim. That it's at the end of 2 years. It's at the end of the 2 years. And so what's the significance of these 2 years? So there's a famous medrash that tells us what happened. That Yosef was a tremendous Baal Bitachon. Like Baal Bitachon beyond the altar of Nevardik. And because of that line, because of the line, Ki im zechartani yitcha kaasher yitav loch vasisani madi chesed vizkartani al par vatsisani min abayis hazeh, Yosef had to wait another 2 years. What? You're supposed to do ishtadlus, right? We're supposed to do everything that we can. So the Bali Musar say, you're supposed to do everything you can up until a point. And then the Hishtadlus becomes an exercise in futility and shows a choser bitachon. It shows a lack of bitachon. Too much in terms of your belief in your own kochos, in your own abilities. And obviously, to everyone they say this is different. Every person is a sliding scale. A person like Yosef HaTzadik, who is a Baal bitachon par excellence, think about it. When he was going down to Egypt, and this is what we spoke about on Shabbos, when he's going down to Egypt, he could have easily turned away from Hashem. He could have easily forgotten Hashem. And think about what happens when he sees his brothers, and think about, you know, when his brothers are just like, in next week's parasha of Vayigash, they're like, what? Yosef? And they're petrified, they're backing away from him. And he's like, no, God did this, don't worry, it was all good. What type of Baal Bitachon are we talking about? Can you imagine? Can you imagine the Gehenim he goes through? And he sees the brothers who did it to him, the brothers, and he's like, it's all good. God did this. This was a part of a plan. Even though He suffered in a prison in Egypt. Right? Just imagine being sold as a slave. What that meant, being taken down to Egypt. What was going through his mind then? And mind you, this wasn't a trip for 10 hours down to Egypt. This took weeks to get from where he was by Dothan down to Egypt. What do you think was going through his head for those weeks? God, this is ridiculous. What? Less din, less dying. Can we imagine what was going through his head? So he's this Baal Bitachon par excellence. Person with the epitome of faith and trust in God. And that's why for him, this ishtadlus was too much. For a Sar HaMashkim, a butler, you think this butler is going to remember you? Are you crazy? This butler is just going to be so thankful that he's restored to his post. He's at the mercy and the whim of power, especially when the Sar Ofen, the baker's killed, and he's like, okay, I have my neck, thank God. You think he's going to extend himself for some Hebrew slave accused of rape of the wife of one of his ministers? Like, that was too much of a reach. Yosef, that was grasping at straws. For someone on the level of Yosef's bitachon, that was inappropriate. And then Nitziv writes, that's why he's punished 2 years. You know why? To make it even the point further, the Nitziv says, for a whole year, Yosef was waiting for the Sar HaMashkim to mention him. Why a whole year? What does the Gemara say about forgetting? Forgetting only sets in a year. That's why the minhag of putting up a matzeva for a person who passes away, you're supposed to make sure the matzeva is up before the year. I mean, in Israel, there are different minhagim. So I have a minhag at the end of Shiva in Israel. I mean, well, my father and uncle, all of it, my father, my uncle passed away, since when they were sitting Shiva together for their father, they were working on the matzeva during Shiva. By the end of Shiva, before my parents live in Israel, my uncle, I mean, he lived in Toronto. He's a rabbi in Toronto. Before he flew back to Toronto, like 2 days after the Shiva, they had the Hakamas HaMatzeva. They put up the Matzeva already for my grandfather in a week. Some people do it at the end of 30 days. But the Minhag America, the Minhag in most places, is that you make sure it's up by a year. Why? Because the Gemara says that Shikha begins after 12 months. You start to forget after 12 months. So you want to show the Matzevas there that there's no forgetting. Right? That's the idea of the Matzeva up before the end of the 12 months. So the Nitziv says, look what the Nitziv says. He says that every day for 12 months, Yosef's like, maybe today's going to be the day that Sar HaMashkim is going to mention me. Maybe today's the day that Sar HaMashkim is going to mention me. Yosef, who are you kidding? You crazy? And because a year of waiting, and after a year when it didn't happen, Yosef's like, okay, shikras, after 12 months, now I'm done. Now he forgot about me. And so Yosef said, for the year that he waited inappropriately, placed his trust in where he shouldn't have placed it. So the Nitziv said, that's why there's another year of punishment. And that's why, though, the Beis Halevi then, right, the first Rabbi Yosef Dov Halevi Soloveitchik points out, that's why in the beginning of the parsha, V'imi Ketchen Asayim Yamim, he says this parsha is all about understanding what is the Siba and the Mesovev, meaning what is the cause and what's the effect. We think the cause is that Paro has a dream. The effect is that what? That Yosef comes out of jail because of Paro's dream. He says, no. Then Beis Halevi says, the cause is, Vehimi Ketchen Asayim Yamim. The cause is 2 years had to pass now. You know what the effect is? You know what the effect is? Ufaro Cholein. Uvine Omer Aliyor. The effect was, oh, now Paro is dreaming. Now Paro is dreaming. Hashem said, the effect is the dream. But it only could happen after the cause, the 2 years were up. And this idea that when something is supposed to happen, it's supposed to happen. So the Sfarno, in fact, says it in this week's parsha. In the end of Rishon, Vayikra El Yosef, page 234, Pasuk Yedalad, Perek Memalf, chapter 41. And Vayikras Yosef, Vayiritsu, right? This is after Paro has his dreams and no one can interpret it for him. And then the butler sees, not a chance to help Yosef, but what does he see? An opportunity. Exactly, Shahar. This is an opportunity for himself. This is the only way he's going to mention this Hebrew slave accused of rape in jail. Oh, Pari should know. This is chance. Vayikras Yosef. They lift him up from the bar, they get shaved, they change his clothes, and he's in front of Paro. Like, boom, 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 bada bing, bada boom, right? In a second. And the Sfarno says, because when the time comes for the Geula, It has to be once it comes, immediately. Immediately it's going to happen, right? That's why they're Midrashim, the famous song that MBD sings, a beautiful Yossi Greenberg song, Anovim, Anovim, Yigi Ezman Gulaschem, right? That Mashiach, Eliyahu Navi, or Mashiach, depending on Medrash and Yechezkel, that they're going to be on top of the Beis HaMikdash, the Heichal, and they're going to be like, hey, Jews, redemption, it's here. Like, it could come, boom, bam, in a moment. I have no idea how quickly it can come. The Gemara is all these crazy things, like a possibility, not great, that Kohanim shouldn't be allowed to drink wine. Why? During the day. Only at night. Because they have to be ready to do the avoda. Maybe Kohanim should not be allowed to drink wine. Supposedly it was one Kohen that didn't, like, only drank grape juice. Because, you know, could quickly take any effects of grape juice off, right? I mean, so, because, you know, if you really believe that every day Mashiach is going to be coming, so there's opportunities at any moment. But that's what the Sfarno says. That's what this Parsha shows us. That Yosef's in jail. 2 years. And again, that Netziv is such an amazing Netziv, no? That's why it's 2 years. Because for a year, he's putting his hope in someone totally, totally inappropriate. Come on. Like, Yosef, you know people. Like, that really? You think that makes sense? That he's going to do that for you? But then that's what this... But this is also, of course, the great challenge of who's in control. Right? Because, notice, it's interesting. Paro's dream. What did that first pasuk say? V'hine omed al ha-yo'or. The Paro, what's omed al ha-yo'or literally mean? Art Scroll translates standing over the river, but al ha-yo'or means on the river. Right? And what's interesting is when he tells over his dream to Yosef, right? When he tells over his dream to Yosef, what does he say to Yosef? He says, "Hinni omed al svas hayor im perek yudzayin vayidaber parol Yosef." Pasuk yudzayin. Just the next page, vayidaber parol Yosef on page 224. Bachalomi hinni omed al svas hayor. My dream. I'm standing on this. What's the svas hayor? The river's edge. What's the difference? What's the river in Egypt? The Nile. What's the Nile? They're God. So Paro's in his dream, he's the God. He's on top of the river. He's more powerful. When he tells it over, even for Pharaoh, that would be too much chutzpah to say that he was standing on top of the Nile in his dream.
But the next Paro doesn't.
What?
The next Paro doesn't care.
What do you mean about what?
Doesn't the next Paro, like Mamash thinks that he's God, so he... Moshe,
well, he knows he's not God. That's why he goes to the bathroom early in the morning. He knows it's all a facade. He knows it's all a facade.
But he doesn't?
Well, no, meaning a dream shows what's right, exactly. Come on, the inhibitions come out. Exactly, the inhibitions come out in the dream. So Paro is standing on top of the Nile. But what? Right. And this is part of the question. Who do we believe is really in control? Meaning Paro has this thing that he's in control. Forget God. What's God? I'm in control. I'm the most powerful, right? What's interesting is, in Greek philosophy, they believed that there was a set thing called nature, right? And their images of gods were really human beings in some ideal form. But Chanukah is about what? What is Bitachon all about? About rejecting that it's people, rejecting that it's nature. Recognizing that everything is from Hashem, and Hashem is the one that's in control, and we are at the mercy of Hashem. They, when they went to war, and this is the Ramban talks about this in Devarim, Perek Zayin, where he says going to war as a Jew meant you're not at the mercy of anyone except Hashem. That's what it means when you go to war as a Jew. That's what you know. You are only at the mercy of Hashem. And Rav Baruch Simon, he brings down a beautiful idea in his Sefer Imrei Baruch, a beautiful Sfas Emes. And listen to this, and we'll end with this. It's such a beautiful idea. Amazing. It was kedai to come out just to hear this tonight. Mamsh, just to hear the Sfas Emes. Sfas Emes says, if you look, there are connections between what other holiday in Chanukah? Obviously, Purim, two mitzvahs, two holidays, Rabbanan. But what other holiday? There's so many connections with Chanukah. And the answer is obviously Sukkot. The only holidays that are 8 days, Sukkot, with Shmini Atzeres, Chanukah's 8 days. There's a mitzvah in Mishnah and Bikurim, one of the only times that Chanukah is mentioned. Chanukah is mentioned less than 10 times in all of Mishnayos, in all of Shas Mishnayos, in all 70 whatever Masechtos. It's mentioned less than 10 times. And one of the times is in Bikurim. It says you can bring Bikurim minachag ad Chanukah. From Sukkot until Chanukah, you can bring it. Meaning, there's some connection. There's also another connection that the only two holidays where we find Hiddur as part and parcel of the halachic definition related to the holiday. Pre-Eitz Hadar, right? All the Arba Minim have to be beautiful. When we come to Chanukah, there's not only Mahadrin doing it in a beautiful way, but Mahadrin Mina Mahadrin, to do it in the most beautiful way. It's like Chanukah is one-upping Sukkot, right? So Zok Tisvas Emes, what's the connection between Chanukah and Sukkot? They're both about the same thing. What exactly? Exactly. And what does Bitachon bring? What does the Vilna Gaon? Exactly. What the Vilna Gaon says is the hardest mitzvah b'chol haTorah kula for him to do. V'samachta b'chagecha. To be happy for 8 days and not get ticked off at your kid. No, I'm sorry. I'm sure the Vilna Gaon. Yeah, I'm sure he never got ticked off his kids. I only get ticked off at his great-great-great-great-great-great-grandchildren. Right. Off. Right? Right. Right. So, you too, right?
The descendant
side
of the Vilna Gaon?
Isn't Rav Chaim? Rav Chaim? Mezrich, right. So you guys are ultimate tikkun, right. You know, you're the ultimate tikkun. Baruch Hashem. You know? So the idea that Chanukah is Mei Simcha, yeah, you know why? Because Chanukah is all about bitachon. That's why it's a mitzvah chaviva. That's why the Rambam defines it as Yemei Simcha, and that's why it's connected to Sukkot. Because what's Sukkot about? Sukkot is about going into a sukkah. What's a sukkah? The tzela de memenusa, the shadow of faith of God. We go into the sukkah as an act of bitachon. Complete faith, trust in God. That, you know what? I'm leaving my diras keva, going into a diras arai. It's a statement about, I know this world is a temporary place. Gesher tzar ma'od, right? Vayikar lo lefachid klal, because we have the bitachon, that we're in Hashem's hands ultimately. That's what it comes down to. And that's how we have to use Chanukah. And that's how Chanukah is related to Parshas Miketz. The lesson of Yosef, the lesson that Yosef, that maybe he learned by being in the 2 years. Maybe this was the lesson that Yosef had to learn so that when his brothers comes, what is he able to do?
It's from Hashem.
Right. Maybe Yosef right now the Yosef at the end of Ayeshev wouldn't have been able to say that. Because we know Hashem doesn't punish to God forbid, to hurt. Why does Hashem punish? Where does an onus come? To do what? To educate, of course. That's what it means. That it's mida keneged mida. Hashem punishes to educate. Kasher yaser iser spino. Ken Hashem el kechem yasreka. When a parent admonishes and punishes a child, it's not supposed to be out of the anger of the parent, right? It's supposed to be because the parent is teaching the child a lesson, right? That's why the famous Bali Musa, there's so many stories about different tzaddikim who like all heck broke loose in the house, and like 2 weeks later, he called in his son and is like, you know, what you did to your sibling that time, it was really not right, and you really have to apologize. And he's like, Abba, that was 2 weeks ago. And he's like, right, it took me 2 weeks to make sure that I was going to admonish you without any of my own emotion here. That really, for your own sake, right? I mean, there are many, there come of the Kama Sipurim, many, many maisios about that. And I've never lived up to it. I failed every time. But I'm still alive. I'm still trying, right? I'm still working towards it. Baruch Hashem, Hashem should help me that I could reach such a place. Halavai, halavai. But this really is such a message on Chanukah. And I'll tell you, every night when you light those neros and you stand by your neros and you daven, you have to ask Hashem, Hashem, let me see the light in this world. Let me see your light in this world. Let me see bitachon and emuna wherever I look, right? Becha bachtu avoseinu. That's a common theme of Chanukah and Purim. We'll get to, but one was expressed in Mesiras Nefesh, bitachon expressed in the Mesiras Nefesh. The other was bitachon expressed in Tefillah, meaning there was no hashtadlis that the Jews in Purim could do except for daven. But that's why Chanukah, to a certain degree, was even harder, because it wasn't just Hashem help me. It was, They had to pick up their swords and bows and arrows and spears and go to their death. They knew they were going to their death, so many of them. And that was still the bitachon. Right? We said, yeah, ultimately they won the war, but they paid a heavy price. Again, four of the five brothers didn't make it through. So this is a message of Hanukkah. And tzaddikim say that when you stare at the oros and you're mispal, you ask Hashem. And that's why their tzaddikim will say the key to two things when you stare at the oros. It's taras einayim, to purify your eyes, to be able to see the good, the ayin tov, by looking with at the neros. And also, when you daven and you say the halal, to ask Hashem that this should enable you to have emunah bitachon, that through the hodah we come to great simcha. They say that through the halal that you say, that's why in Shabbos I stressed it, the neros helps you see, the halal, the second mitzvah, helps you come to bitachon and simcha. And be'ezus Hashem, there's only two nights, isn't it great? Last night we sat down and Leah said to the suda, we eat in the dining room, with the rest, during the year we're in the kitchen, but Hanukkah we eat in the dining room. It's a yomtiv. We eat in the dining room. We could see the neris that way. And as we see the ner, and Leah's like, you know, the first night, it's so exciting. And very soon it's going to be the eighth night. And I'm going to be like, what happened? So let's grab hold. It's only the second night. We still have so much time to think and to be mispalel and grow. And look, the light of Hanukkah is the light of Mashiach. Right? Daven for everything. Daven for everything. And Be'ezus Hashem, will be zochet to see the lights, bechatzros kotshecha, in Hashem's holy courtyards. Shkoyach, coming out. Lichtige Chanukah, a Chanukah of light, and of course, a Freilichim Chanukah, Chanukah of joy. See everyone.